We're going to put all that on hold and talk some NFL draft. Our guest has a really unique, diverse resume as the co-host of Believe in the Pro Football Film Room on the Believe Podcast Network, owner of LandryFootball.com. He's been a scouting and coaching consultant for NFL teams, college programs, scouted for the Oilers, the Titans, directed the NFL Combine, worked for Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. Welcome in, Chris Landry. Chris, really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. How's life treating you these days?
Oh, it's doing well. Good to be with you. I'll probably be better in a few days when the draft is behind me, but it's a busy time of year. But, you know, listen, it's an exciting time because it's an opportunity for teams to get better. I know everybody's focused on the event part of it, but to me, there's a lot of good players, and some good can be done, and some teams are already making some moves. Some teams that you guys follow a lot making some moves today that preceding the draft.
Yeah, by the way, you can follow Chris on Twitter. The handle is at LandryFootball. You know, my first question was going to be, so this time of year, do you actually sleep, Chris, or do you just go 24/7?
I'd call it a nap. More than sleep. So if I get a little power nap, I'm good.
All right. Well, in our town, Eugene, we've got a big Bay Area connection. We've got a bunch of Raider fans here. And you addressed something on the podcast with John Gruden and Mike Mayock, sent their scouts home. Is that a matter of this happens, it was a holiday? Or should silver and black fans be concerned when this franchise says things like they don't know who to trust so close to draft day?
Well, it's certainly not a good look and not a good sign. This doesn't happen. I know people have come out and said, oh, everybody does this. Nobody does this. I've been in this league 30 years. Now, yes, there have been... You know, we know Easter falls on different days every year, how Easter works. There have been people that have sent their scouts home for Easter weekend, and then they'll bring them back because normally you get your draft board done, and they'll let them go back home. That is typical, but nobody leaves their scouts at home. This is done. I think this is a case of Raider scouts. I don't think they had a whole lot of respect for Mayock. I don't think the draft meetings went all that well. I did a podcast on it today that Mayock was kind of a duck out of water, so to speak, in the draft meetings. And, you know, he's there to basically do what John Gruden wants, and I think that's really what's happening there. Listen, if you don't trust guys on your staff, keep them in the building, keep an eye on them, and you don't let them in the draft room. But to let them go now... They basically, you know, these guys are not going to talk to other people in the league if they're still working for the Raiders, because no one would hire somebody that's being disloyal for the team that they work with. But now, if you didn't trust them, well, if they're going to spill the beans, they're really going to spill the beans. Now, it shouldn't mess up this draft. You'd have to really screw up this draft big time because they've got a lot of quality picks. But my concern is, you know, you got someone that's never been in a draft room, never scouted or coached before, making decisions. The scouts are the ones that know these players the best. And when you get into the mid-late rounds and you've got to make decisions on who to sign, on who to draft, when you got to make decisions after the draft, which guys are the better guys to sign as undrafted free agents, this is where you sign your Philip Lindsays, that an undrafted free agent that become a Pro Bowl player. You got to have those guys there. Now, if you don't like these guys, you don't trust them, well, you're going to have to go hire some new ones next year. That's fine, but I don't. This doesn't go over well in the scouting community, and I think it's going to be really hard. They'll be able to hire scouts, but they won't be able to hire qualified scouts. I'm a little bit concerned about it and hope that it works out better than it has. Listen, these are some scouts that put together a pretty good roster for the Raiders. And remember, this is a Raider team that looked like they were headed for playoffs a few years ago until, you know, this current regime started to tear it down, mainly John Gruden. But John's running the show. He's got $100 million coming to him, so he's going to do what he wants. And you know, Mayock is trying to figure out what's going on.
Talking with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Another interesting piece brought up something we talked about here. You know, fans get a shot of a war room on draft day, but obviously the brain trust has been going at it for months. So, you know, as we get to this time of year, is it more tense? Is it fine-tuning? Are teams more locked in on their top pick? So those meetings that are happening now at crunch time, how would you describe what the focus might be?
Well, teams have got their draft boards done. And so what you're doing right now, as we turn the calendar to like this weekend, this past weekend, and certainly starting Monday, yesterday, you're really focused on draft strategy. What are different scenarios? Who's likely to be there when we pick? So if you're picking 20th, if you're the Raiders and you're picking fourth, you have a pretty good idea who's going to be there. There's only three picks in front of you. If you're, you know, the Seahawks and now you got two first round picks and they're late, you've got a lot less, you know, a lot more variables in front of you. But, you know, you work through a number of different scenarios. Your horizontal board, which is where you grade players regardless of position, should all be done, all be set. What you do is just work through scenarios. Okay, these cluster of guys are there. What will we do in this situation? Okay, they're gone. If these cluster of guys are there, what will we do? So on and so forth. That's what you work through, a number of different scenarios. It's like a game plan for a game on Sunday. If you do a good job with that, and you get a game plan ready to go for the draft, and come draft day, you're just responding to the reactions just like you're responding to what happens in a game. You field a lot of calls. You make a lot of calls this week to try to see who might get a feel for who might be willing to move up, move back. So it's just a game plan, if you will, for the draft.
Chris, another post that I thought was really interesting came on the heels of a story I'd read about college recruits and NFL prospects who get their social media kind of scoured. You wrote about kind of looking at medical or character questions. So when the brain trust is looking at a talent, but those issues are on the table, what are some of the factors that go into a final decision, maybe yay or nay, on a draft pick?
Well, here's what I always do and still do is I grade players as they are as a football player. So if they're graded at a certain area, I always say if a guy's a bad guy or he's a medical, it doesn't make them slower or it doesn't make them less of a player. You grade them where his football abilities are, then you attach the medical grade to him. So if he's got a medical concern, if there's maybe a longevity issue, maybe there's arthritic changes, he may be a one-contract player, there's a certain medical grade that will be attested to that. So now you got two players with the same grade. You got one of them that is what we call clean, that doesn't have a medical issue. You're gonna slot him a little bit higher than the guy that has the medical problem, common sense there. Well, the character issues can be very complex. If you're a substance abuse problem, that would negate a certain denotation on the card. But if you got character issues, listen, you do a lot of background work. You've got scouts, again, that have been scouting these guys for 2 years. They know the background of these players. They know exactly what type of trouble they've been in. Is it a recurring problem? If it's once in a, you know, just kids will be kids, boys will be boys situation. What's the family background? What the issues are? Listen, you got to do your homework. You also got to do your psychological testing. When I, years ago, my general manager and head coach wanted to draft Lawrence Phillips. I did not want to draft Lawrence Phillips. I had background on him that told me that this was going to be a bad move off the field. I liked Eddie George. I fought for Eddie George. We drafted Eddie George. But in the process, we did a psychological testing on Lawrence Phillips that basically told us what we needed to know. And in the end of the day, the Rams ended up taking him before we did anyway. But I guess my point is you do a lot of different background work, psychological testing, to determine the level of risk that a player is for you, and you have to mitigate that risk. So, for example, if a guy's a first-round talent, you think he's a great player, you think he's got some off-the-field risk, but not a lot, well, at what point would you be willing to take him? You may not take him in the first round. It may be too risky. You might consider him if he's on the board in the second or third. There's some players that you wouldn't consider at all because maybe the off-the-field problems are that significant. So I think you have to factor all of that in. but you grade the football player individually on the football part, you grade the character part, you grade the medical part, and you bring it all together, and then you have a good, real, file on a player as to where you want to put him on the board and where you think he fits for you or doesn't fit.
Really fascinating. Talking some NFL draft with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. And we're the voice of the Seattle Seahawks here in Eugene. You wrote about them. You know, you could roll the dice and say what the status of Doug Baldwin. Maybe they're looking at receiver. They still rework in the offensive line. From what you're hearing, where is or what do you think Seattle should be focused on?
Well, I think they got their eyes on a pass rusher pretty early. Obviously, the move with Frank Clark today,
right.
I think that they've got their eyes on somebody. I wouldn't rule out, I think there'll be somebody will slip. But I also think they have their eye on somebody that they may move up for. So we'll see how it plays out, whether that player may slip a little bit enough where it's attainable on draft day, maybe somebody like a Montez Sweat or somebody that they really like that can play Frank Clark's position. They need to improve that pass rush. So these extra picks allow them the freedom to do that. It allows them the freedom to take multiple players. I think obviously they want to add to their secondary, get younger there. So, I think all those things are in play, and having more picks is kind of what they want to do. So I expect them to come out of it with, in this draft with a pass rusher, a safety at some point, maybe add, a young receiver, an interior defensive lineman. I mean, I think there are a number of different areas, but they do a pretty good job of it. Pete kind of, has a good feel for it, and Schneider works well, for Pete to get things, to get the board lined up well. So that's a good situation. They've got their eye on a certain player, and they're very aggressive at going who they want, and sometimes they may see a player like a Bruce Irvin that other players didn't have rated anywhere near as high. They're not worried about that. They just Katie barred the door, they go after him. So I know they've got a plan, and we'll see what it's going to be.
Yeah, they've been a tremendous tandem. A couple final thoughts for Chris Landry. Another big following here, the 49ers. They made the big news when they got Jimmy Garoppolo prior to last season. They picked second. I mean, you're hearing a lot about Nick Bosa. But while the word is they have talent, obviously a team with that record's got multiple needs. So you think it's a lock they're going to go Bosa at two? And what are some of the other areas they may be focused on?
Unless their medical grade says that they're concerned about Bosa's longevity or something of that nature, I think this is the best pick for them in terms of value. I think he's one of the two best players in this draft, and I think he fits a need, which you can't draft for need. You have to draft for value, and when you can get value at a need spot, I mean, I think that's a home run. Now, maybe they don't have them graded that way. I do. I think it'd be a great fit. I actually think this team is a little bit better. The injuries that they had, I think they rebound, and you add a couple of pieces. Maybe it is Bosa. Maybe they add a big receiver like a N'Keal Harry. Maybe they add a young corner, safety, maybe like a Jaquan Johnson or Isaiah Johnson. They've got a chance to get much better. I expect them to add a couple of receivers in this draft, and if they can add an elite pass rusher, they get the quarterback back healthy. I think they've got, obviously added a running back that really fits with Kyle Shanahan. I think the Niners can make a precipitous jump this year, because I don't think they're as bad as their record indicated. I think that just was a swell of circumstances. They do have needs, you're right, but I think they're in a position to draft some players that can help them, and if they get healthy, they're going to be a better team than most of the teams that are picking in the top five or six. For example, the Raiders are a mess. The Cardinals are a mess. But, I think the Niners can be really good. I don't know if they catch the Rams good, but I think they can be competitive. I really do.
Now, the last thing is, a lot of people view the Pac-12 as down. Team-wise, we know they haven't been in the playoffs, but we see them week in, week out, and there's a ton of talent. USC, Arizona State, Oregon, Washington. So the scout in you, do you guys pay attention to conference rankings, or do you just focus on player performance, film, the combine, and just how they might help your team?
Well, I learned a long time ago, you don't scout the helmet. You don't worry about where a player plays. You scout them. You scout them to a standard. You have critical factors on how they project to the next level. Now, there's no question that when you start evaluating all the players and you start looking at the best players, you happen to look and without realizing it, say, darn, look at all these players from the SEC. It's the best conference, has the most players. It's true, but you don't go and say, well, you know, yeah, just I'm only going to worry about the SEC. You're missing out on some really good players. So for me, I mean, I look and a guy like a Byron Murphy is an outstanding player, the corner from Washington. Andre Dillard is an outstanding tackle from Washington State. You know, just to give two examples of guys that are really good. Maybe numbers may not be there, but they're really good players. McGarry is good. McGarry is going to be a good offensive tackle. So listen, Rapp is. The safety from Washington's really good. A little bit down for Oregon this year, but listen, there are good players everywhere. You got to find them, and you got to match them up against everybody else. So there's a player at Delaware, the safety that I like a lot. There's a player at Alabama State. I mean, there are players all over the. There's a player at Temple that may go late first round. They're good players everywhere. You just got to do your homework, and you got to take out the preconceived biases. There's a tendency, like, for example, you go to an LSU and you know they have a lot of good corners. You go to Alabama, you know those guys are well developed. So there's certain things that you look at that can give you strong indicators, but you certainly I look at the overall numbers of the Pac-12. I've got concerns about it, but they still got some good players.
Folks, that's some terrific insight. He's Chris Landry. The website, LandryFootball.com. On Twitter, the handle at LandryFootball. Some of the best information you'll find getting ready for the NFL draft. Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time to share all you do and all you know. Thanks a million, and I would really look forward to catching up again down the road.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me. Keep up, keep doing a great job. Enjoy the draft, and we'll catch up soon, hopefully.
All righty. You have a good one.